The prophet Isaiah said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Why was he called Emmanuel? Because it means God with us. Now, the exercise of force is contrary to the principles of God's government. He desires only love. And love cannot be commanded. It cannot be won by force or authority. Only by love can love be awakened. Now, God's character must be manifested in contrast with the character of the enemy. And this work, only one being in all the universe could do. Only he who knew the height and the depth of the love of God could do this. And so God sent his Son, Jesus, to be Emmanuel, God with us, the Redeemer of mankind. The birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. His mother Mary had been promised to Joseph in marriage, but before they were married, Mary realized that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph was an honorable man, and with all this, he did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the marriage agreement with her secretly. Now Joseph had this in mind when an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And the angel said to him, "Joseph, descendant of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. In those days, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from the Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because of the simple reason that there was no room for them in the inn.
Sleep on.
When a king was born, or when a prince was born, that was going to be a king. There was celebration. I mean, there was protection. The guards were summoned. People all over that country knew that a king was born. And yet, in Bethlehem, there was no royal guard that was stationed to protect the newborn king. None of the world's honored men were in attendance. Jesus was cradled in a manger, and his parents, uneducated peasants, were his only earthly guardians. But unseen by mortal eyes, angels from heaven were drawn to the earth, and they surrounded the stable where Jesus lay. And with amazement, the host of the heavens, they witnessed what God had done to save this perishing world, what God had done to save you and to save me. In one great gift, the gift of His own Son, He poured the whole treasures of heaven. And He revealed a love for sinners that defied all understanding. Thank you. shepherds were out that night, and they were watching over their sheep. They were taking care of their sheep. It was a cold night, very cold. It was a clear night. And the shepherds felt something about that night. They did not know what it was, but they felt something was about to happen. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. But then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Let's turn in our hymnals to number 142. "Angels We Have Heard on High," just like the shepherds.
"Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the night, and the mountains in reply, echoing their brave delight. Gloria in excelsis Deo,
the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The plan of redemption was not an afterthought. It was not a plan that one might think was formulated right after the fall of Adam. This plan was in effect from the foundation of the world. God did not ordain that sin should exist, but He foresaw its existence, and He made provision to meet the terrible emergency. And so great was His love for the world that He covenanted to give His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible said, Mary's poor child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, new King born today, and men will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. While shepherds watch the flocks by night, they saw a bright new shining star. Unheard a choir from heaven sing, the music came from afar. Hark now, hear the angels sing, new kings born today, and men will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Now Joseph and his wife Mary came to Bethlehem the night. They found no place to bear her child, not a single room was inside. By and by they found a little nook in a stable all forlorn, and in a manger cold and dark Mary's little boy child was born. Trumpets sound, angels sing, listen to what they say, that men will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Trumpets sound and angels sing, listen to what they say, that men will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
About 40 days after the birth of Jesus, Mary took Him to the temple in Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord and to offer sacrifice. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. This man was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. As Simeon enters the temple, he sees a family presenting their firstborn right before the priest. Now their appearance bespeaks poverty. But Simeon understands the promptings of the Holy Spirit And he is deeply impressed that the infant being presented to the Lord is the consolation of Israel. The one that he has longed to see. To the astonished priest, Simeon appears like a man enraptured. The child has been returned to Mary, but Simeon takes it. He takes it in his arms and he presents it to God. While a joy that he has never felt before enters his soul. There is that question. And you cannot miss it. It was done on purpose. Who would have known? Who would have known that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would come down in the form that he did? Who would have known that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, instead of being brought down on that humble cave, that stall, that manger, who would have known that people were waiting for the King, the consolation of Israel? He should have been born in the greatest and most beautiful palace that they had at that time. Who would have known that God loved us so much that He would do such a thing? Who would have known? And yet, there were people that knew. Micah knew that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. So Micah knew about the consolation of Israel. Isaiah knew that he was going to be born of a virgin. What he did not know was that statement, born of a virgin, had a lot of implications at the time of Jesus. A single young teenager coming back home showing that she was pregnant, trying to explain that she had not been with no man, dealing with all the gossip, dealing with all the stories that might have been told. But Isaiah knew. Jeremiah knew that he was going to be from David's lineage. Zechariah knew about the Savior because he was shown that he was going to be sold for 30 silver coins, that he was going to be crucified. David knew that there on that cross, the soldiers were going to be casting lots for his clothes. David was shown that no bones were going to be broken from the Savior. Who would have known? They knew. Daniel knew. Hosea knew because he said he was going to be raised on the third day. Mary knew. We know that. Joseph knew. And that was a timely message. Because Joseph was saying, I'm just going to, you know, secretly just say, you know, we can't do this. But an angel of the Lord came and explained to him what was happening, what was going on. And after the angel of the Lord, in a dream, spoke to Joseph, Joseph had peace in his heart. A timely message for Joseph. He knew. Simeon knew. How could have Simeon known where all the people were bringing the children, all couples, I mean, it was there in the temple. How did Simeon know that those two parents, right over there, the most unlikely ones probably, those peasants, how did Simeon know that they were carrying the consolation of Israel? How did he know? Through the Holy Spirit. And he was led by the Holy Spirit. And he gave that special blessing to the Lord. Elizabeth knew. And as a matter of fact, the child within her knew. She said it when she saw Mary, the child leaped. A joyous occasion. Who would have known that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would come to our earth in that way? The chosen people knew. They were studying the scriptures. They were studying the prophecies. They had been getting ready for this for many hundreds of years. They knew. And yet, they missed it. It took three non-believers, or two, whichever way you want to think it happened. But we know it was more than one. It took three of them way out there, the Holy Spirit guiding them. And when they saw the star, they knew. They knew. And they took that tremendous trip with all its trials, with all of its problems, with all of the implications of traveling in that time. And they came to that manger, or to the home, whichever way you want to see it. But here's the important thing about that. That they came and worshiped Him. Why? Because they knew. They knew. Let me turn the question around and ask you something this morning. Do you know who He is? Because this little baby, he's not a baby anymore. And He has promised to take us home. He has promised to take us to a place far, far better than what you think this place might be. Do you know Him? We lived and we live in troubled times. I don't think we could argue about that. That the times that we're living in are troubled. But this morning I would like to just let you know that we can have the confidence that Simeon had, knowing that God's promises are sure, knowing that the promises that we have in the Bible are sure, knowing that the promises that we have there are not just promises that were made to those that lived in the times of Jesus, that those that lived in the Old Testament times, but those promises are for you and for me. I'm happy about the fact that God's purposes know no haste or delay. Just like His birth happened at an appointed time, just like the crucifixion happened at an appointed time, the end will come at an appointed time. But the end is not something that you and I should be afraid of. You and I should be restful. We should be at peace. And we should have the confidence to know that we are in the hands of God, in the shelter of the Almighty. God has made another promise. Jesus Christ made another promise to you and for me. A very comforting promise. And here it is. He promised us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And that is a promise. And if you believe in Jesus' promises, if you believe that God keeps His promises, In times like these, this is one of those promises that we need to get a hold of. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And even though we might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we should not fear. We should not fear any evil. We should not fear financial collapse. We should not fear physical collapse. We should not fear emotional collapse. We should not fear. Because I don't know about what your Bible says. I don't know what your Bible says. But I know what my Bible says. And victory is assured to all of those that are in Christ Jesus. Because our redemption from sin will be complete because of that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And when that redemption is made complete, this world will be made new. Death, sorrow, pain, all will be no more. And Scripture says that God Himself will wipe the tears from our eyes. God Himself will see to it that you have your last good cry. And then eternal happiness with Jesus Christ. I long for that day. Do you? We long for that day. And the question that you should take home this Sabbath, two of them. The first one we talked about, who would have known? Who would have known? And the second one I'd like to leave you this morning is with, do I know Him? Do I know Him? Because salvation is a very personal thing. Salvation is about knowing Jesus Christ. It's very simple. When Jesus comes to you that time in the future, wherever it might be, and He looks at you, we would have a tendency of saying, Lord, in Your name we came to church, we went every Sabbath, we returned tithes, we returned everything to You, we did everything that You asked. And how sad it would be that the Lord looks at you and says, excuse me, and your name is? I don't know you. I don't know you. But praise God that He has us in His hands. And if we remain in Him, He will give us the victory. May God bless you this holiday season as we continue to remember that great day that Jesus Christ was born. But above all, that great day that He's coming back for us. Amen.
For our closing hymn, let's turn to number 125, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. Let's stand.
Joy to the world. See you.
a prayer, I'd like to remind you two things. The first one is our tithes and offerings are going to be received at the end of the service there in the back. And the other thing I'd like to remind you also is to all our guests and our visitors, please come. We have a meal prepared, and we would be so happy for you to join us as we fellowship together. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning to thank you for the greatest gift ever given to mankind, and that is Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending him. Who would have known that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of the universe, would be born in a humble stable? A cave, a manger. And yet, that was the plan that you had from the beginning of time. And we thank you. And Jesus, we thank you for your willingness to die on our behalf. You suffered on that cross. You suffered on the way to the cross. But you did not remain on that grave. In that grave, you did not remain, and you were resurrected. And right now, you are interceding on our behalf. We thank you for that. Father, I pray that as we share our love with our families, as we buy the gifts that we want to buy our families and those in need, I pray that we will not lose the reason for the season, the reason why we do this. You shared your most precious possession, and you've taught us to do the same. So as we begin or continue to share those blessings with others, please, please help us to remember why we do this. We also wait on the promise that one day you will come for us. And the promise that you will come with all of your glory and receive us into the kingdom. In the meantime, Father, I pray that we may continue to share the good news that you're coming soon. The good news that in you we find victory. And so be with us during the rest of the Sabbath day, during the rest of this week that in a few hours we're about to begin. Be with us. Guide us. Lead us. And continue to transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ is my prayer this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.